Welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. This week, I had a really good friend, Chris Ivy, come and visit for a day and a half and got to spend the night at our house. So we were blessed that that happened. We got to do a lot of eating at places that I've never eaten at. One restaurant was at Manitou Springs. One restaurant was Jamaican food, and the other restaurant was a vegan place called the Burrowing Owl, and it was like totally vegan. And I ate a sloppy shepherd's pie, which was they like specialize in vegan sloppy joes and mac and cheese. So they have like all kinds of dishes of mac and cheese, which doesn't have cheese in it. It has like nut cheese. And they have like green chili type items and sloppy joes, which I don't even know what it's made out of because it's not meat, but it tastes a lot like sloppy joes. Well, what mine had on it, and nothing's made with anything dairy. It's made with I don't know what they use for cream, but because they had potato soup, and this shepherd's pie, what it was it's a sloppy joe. It had green chili on top of that, and it was open-faced, and then they like put potato soup on top of that, and that's what I ate, and it was pretty good. It was the first vegan dish that I liked. The other stuff that I've eaten is raw vegan, and I really didn't like that stuff. But anyway, we got to eat a lot of stuff, and I enjoyed the Jamaican dish that we had. Which was, I pretty much had jerk chicken with barbecue sauce on it and vegetables. But my wife had some kind of chicken stew, and that I liked a lot more. So I know what I like now, so if I go back there, I will definitely pick other items because I liked it. I liked it a lot more than what I had. But that was still good. I enjoyed it. And, I got to show him the house and the utter chaos it is of where all my collections are, where my non-inventoried comics are, where my collected editions are. I got to show him the basement. I got to show him Comic Base and how I record stuff. He helped me pick my Mike M's daily comic cover, and he may have me going down a rabbit hole on another comic because, we started looking at Legion covers on the database, and we're like, oh man, I have these small holes that I like to fill. And we'll see, because what happens is I place an order with my comic shop, and I don't like I keep accumulating items in my cart, and then I submit it after a certain period. And when I submit it, they might have sold out some items, and I don't pay attention to the items. Like this last time, I thought I finished Punisher Warzone, and I didn't because they didn't have two of the items. If I ordered them right when I put them into my cart, I would have gotten them. But by the time I ordered it, I did not. So, yeah, there's that. So, I thought I would talk a little bit about, my last order that I received, and kind of what I'm targeting on the next order, and why I'm targeting it. But I haven't placed it. There's still other things I'm going to add in the cart. So, if I go to my order, what I had placed, and I haven't talked a lot about what I've been ordering, but I have been ordering back issues, just not as frequently. So I got on this kick with Spider-Man, and I wanted to get like a full run from a certain point. So I ordered a lot of Spider-Man around the four after like 412, and I ordered 394, which was part of the Clone Saga that I was missing. And I had ordered a lot of these from a prior order, so I was just increasing it, and I got almost like a full run to 425. And then I had for those of you who've been listening know that I've been trying to get all of the Extreme Studio stuff, the Liefeld stuff, and I realized I was missing Bad Rock and Company, so I placed an order of 1 through 4, and it's not a complete run because there's f it's a 6-issue series, but I still have to order 5 and 6. I did order another thing that I'm trying to complete is all of the DC Marvel crossovers, and I was missing Batman Spider-Man, and I ordered that. In the process of completing my Force Works, there was a one shot. There was a member in Force Works called Sentry, and it was Distant Suns, and I ordered that. I completed my Force Works run from the previous order when I ordered number 6 because I was missing it. I completed my Extreme Justice. This was the Captain Atom, Booster Gold, Blue Beetle, Maxima team. Who else was it? No, Triumph was in the Task Force. There was one other member that I'm missing. Is it Amazing Man? It might be Amazing Man. This was 17 and 18. I think it was the last 2 issues I was missing. I finally completed my milestone. Like, a lot of you know that I like to complete dead universes. I finished Valiant. I finished Future Comics. I finished Ultraverse. And one of the ones I was working on was Milestone, which is a DC imprint, and I was lacking Icon number 42. It's the last issue, and I was searching for it for like 3 or 4 years. And the problem is I could find it, but it was like a ridiculous cost. It was like $40 for one issue, and I can almost get the whole run for like $60. So it's like, do I just buy another full run, or do I go ahead and just wait for this? And I had put it on my watch list with my comicshop.com, finally came up, and that's when I placed my order because I was like, I can't wait because if they sell it, I'll be out of it again. So I placed it. I ordered Aliens Dead Orbit because I missed ordering it. I placed Jazz Maynard. I don't know how I missed it, but I missed 1 and 2, but I ordered 3 and 4. I don't get it. But I did I covered Jazz Maynard number 1 on Geek Brunch, and I realized that's when I realized I didn't have it. I read it digitally, and now I have the print copy, and also with number 2. I ordered Negation War, which is just 2 issues. It never finished. It's like a Unity 2000 that never finished from Valiant. It's towards the end, and they never got the story told. But I was missing number 2 because I stopped getting it when they started to be sporadic on publishing. And then I had my Punisher War Zones, and I thought, oh man, I finished it. But there were a few that they didn't have, so I didn't finish it. So I'm almost done with the War Zone. I finished Steel the Indestructible Man from 1978. If you remember Steel from JSA and All-Star Squadron, you will know this character. I was missing this issue and didn't notice it until I was combing my database, and I was like, oh man, I missed one issue of that, so I ordered it. And I was missing an issue of Scooby-Doo Apocalypse, and I don't usually miss my DCs, but I think what happened is they used to have a Hanna-Barbera bundle, and 1 month the bundle went away, and I forgot to order it on DCBS. So that is the process. What I have in my cart that's gonna go off is a few Amazing Spider-Mans to keep this consecutive up to 425. I decided to finish Bad Rock and Company, so I added that. I added issues 5 and 6. Me and Bill were talking about the new DC New Talent Showcase, and it made me go to my database and realize I didn't have a full run of that. So I ordered New Talent Showcase 15 through 19. Well, I haven't ordered it yet. I put it in my cart. And then some of the Punisher War Zones that I missed are now on my cart to complete the War Zone thing. And some of them are actually quite high towards the end. Towards the end of run, things get kind of nasty. And I think it's because they stop making bigger print runs because they know they're canceling it. And a few people say, "Oh, you're canceling it. Why do I need to finish it?" Because you need to know the history of the character. You got Thing. There are four issues of The Thing that I was missing, number 7, 8, 13, and 36. And I also placed an order there. And then I did get a story, sorry, a question a week ago from Drew from Comics for Fun and Profit, and he asked a tough question. He was like, "Okay, your house is on fire. What do you?" He says, "Your family is safe." So he made it a point to say, "All your family's safe, and you have time to run in and get something." What comic book would you get? And man, I think about it, and I'd probably get Batman number 3, from the 1940s. But I almost want to just let it burn, because if it burned, like every comic means something to me, even if it's worth nothing. And the fact that it's gone, it's like, it's none of the books are with their family of collection, so it's a weird question to ask, but man, it's a tough one. And probably there's a lot of people going through this that were in hurricane areas where they keep their comics in the, basement or certain area, and just floods just probably destroyed their books. And I don't know if that's what spawned the question or what, but he asked a good question, and I think everybody would have a different answer. But for now, I'll just say, my Batman number 3. And it's in the same location as my giant size X-Men and a bunch of Golden Age books, so I might just, if I can grab the one, I might grab that entire stack and take it out. So the other thing I want to talk about recently is Len Wein's passing, which I don't know, for some reason when something like this happens, I don't usually get like super sensitive. I think the last time I did was when Bernie Wrightson died, and it's ironic that they're both the Swamp Thing co-creators. I did feel like really sad when Len died, and the thing I'm gonna miss the most is his incredible smile. Like, he was such a welcoming person to meet at a convention, and it was really tough to know. Like, I didn't even know, like, I guess when he was very young, they gave him so long to live. Paul Levitz was posting like for a whole week, stories about Len Wein. And it just seems like he was such a likable guy, like within the community. And I can see that because I met him the year that Before Watchmen came out, and I'm gonna look up what year that was, because I was talking to him about it. 'Cause it was like really controversial at the time. Like, cause people, it was 2012, so I met him in 2012. That was the first time I've met him. I had met Bernie Wrightson probably like 3 times, and one time was a little more personal because we bought a bag from him, and we talked to his wife and him at a local convention somewhere in Colorado. I think it was in Denver somewhere. But and that was just a hotel con that Bernie was at. But it was an interesting conversation, because I was just telling him how excited I was to see the Watchmen again, and a lot of people were upset because they don't think it could could be recreated in any kind of form. And I must say that, like, when we used to talk about comics and DC Noise, me and Keith, like, really loved Before Watchmen. Like, it really struck a chord with us, and I think it's freaking amazing. And what people might not realize is that Len Wein had a lot to do with that Watchmen and Before Watchmen. He bringing it back. He did a backup story in a lot of the Before Watchmens, and he also did Before Watchmen Dollar Bill, and he did as Ozymandias as well. So he had a big hand in Before Watchmen, and it was pretty freaking amazing. What I really remember him from is, I mean, is the main things, you know, Swamp Thing personally, and that bringing the X-Men and Wolverine. He created Wolverine, he created Swamp Thing, so those are his biggest creations. He did bring Blue Beetle back into the limelight after Crisis, which I really enjoyed, and it's actually collected in a showcase. I have both. And if they did a hardcover on it, I'd get that too. But that was Len Wein and Paris Cullens, which is freaking amazing. It's only 24 issues. But I think I have, like, I mean, there's very few comics. Like, I was even reading Tales of the Batman, Len Wein, and I started reading it, and there are various issues. I was like, do I have this? Do I have this? Do I have this? And I had every single one of them. One of them I had in really bad shape, but I still had it. But I kind of want to look through things and see what I'm missing, 'cause I don't think I'm missing too much of Len Wein's stuff, and that includes Giant Size X-Men. I have it. That includes House of Mystery, the first appearance of the Swamp Thing. I have it. You know, it'd be nice to have all of his works. And Bill Sienkiewicz drew a picture of him, and it looks amazing. Like, it's the thing that's amazing is his freaking smile. Like, it just brings joy to the world, even in the world when the world is going to shit. It just, you see that smile, and it's so greeting and comforting. And you're not gonna see it anymore, and it sucks. But it's kind of like the first creator that just hit me, and I don't know if it's because I'm getting older, and it's like, shit, you know, these guys are like not too much older than me. I mean, when you're young, you start to think, God damn, 40's old, and then you think, fuck, 50, 50's old, and then it keeps on going up, and then you get 60, and then your parents hit these fucking ages, you know, it's like 70, and you're like, God damn, and it just it really sucks. You know, that people you love get older and they expire, and there's nothing you can fucking do about it. But I am reading Len Wein. Like I said, I read let's see here. And this is just coincidence, 'cause I didn't have a lot of time to read this weekend, and I was showing Chris my collection, and like on top of my stacks was Tales of the Batman Len Wein, and I said, well, fuck, I should read this. And I started to read it. I read Detective Comics 408, which was the house that haunted Batman. It was Len Wein and Marv Wolfman, they're listed as co-writers, and Neil Adams on art. And man, Neil Adams kills it when he draws Batman, and like he's in his prime when he's doing Batman in these years in the 70s. It's from 1971, and this detective story was pretty amazing. It was a story where Batman thinks Robin is dying, and he goes into this house, this like haunted house. I think the title's even The House That Haunted Batman. He goes into the house to try to find out what's Robin, and he grabs Robin and he said, "Are you okay?" And he like disintegrates and turns to dust. And then he keeps on having these visions of things, like even his own death. He sees himself in a coffin, and Superman's there, and Robin's there, and Robin's like, "Why didn't you ever let me grow up? Why did you always keep me so I couldn't be in the spotlight?" And Superman's giving him shit and at his eulogy, and Commissioner Gordon, and he's going through all these hauntings. Claustrophobia, like he gets into an area where the walls are crushing in on him, and he eventually there's a panel that shows who the villain is, and I'm like, oh, it's Ra's, but why is Ra's doing this? Because he kind of drew it like Ra's, but it's not Ra's al Ghul, it's Dr. Zin-Zin, Master of Illusion, and he's seeking revenge, and the League of Assassins, which goes back to who I was talking about, hired him to take out Batman, and he's like, "You don't need to pay me for this. I owe Batman. I want to kill him." But they end up Batman. He has Batman and Robin in tubes, and Batman actually escapes. He like does something that could possibly kill him because his utility belt's gone, but he escapes out the hatch and then frees Robin. While he's got Dr. Zin-Zin, and they take out Rob, Dr. Zin-Zin, him and Robin working together, and they're taking him back to the Batmobile in bat cuffs, and they hear this laughter, and the laughter's from a window, and Dr. Zin-Zin's up in the window, and he's like laughing hysterically, and then they go back to look at the handcuffs, and he's gone. Boom! And that's how the story ends. So they had this haunting by Dr. Zin-Zin, and now he escaped. So they didn't capture him. So that was a good story. And then I read World's Finest, number 207 from 1971. It was called A Matter of Light and Death. This was a mid interesting story, and it started off really strong, but then it got to the point where it's like, they can't explain all this very well, so then it like moved itself forward, and you found out who the villain was. But what this story opens up is Clark Kent. He goes to a bunch of crooks, and he says, "I want you to kill somebody for me." And you're like, okay, this is one of those stories where it's not really Clark Kent. But he says, "I need you to kill somebody for me." And they said, "Who do you want us to kill?" And he says, "I want you to kill Superman." And they like laugh him off. They're like, "Kill Superman? We're just three regular dudes. How are we gonna kill Superman?" And he says, "Don't you know that there's like limited kryptonite on this planet, and we don't have any access to kryptonite? How are we gonna kill Superman?" Well, he says, "Well, one of other Superman's vulnerabilities is Superman's vulnerable to magic." And he says, "I'm going to give you the tool to kill Superman." And during this time, Clark like is waking up sweating and stuff, and he's like, "I need to get help. There's something going on. Like, I'm having these visions that I'm hiring somebody to murder someone, but I don't know who it is. Who am I going to turn to?" Well, the light bulb goes on. I'll turn to the world's greatest detective. I'll turn to Batman. So he goes to Batman. He tells him the story, and then they have all these little side panels where Batman likes disguised as the janitor. He's disguised as a hippie. He's disguised as all these various characters, and he's watching Clark Kent, and he's like, "Man, this guy's got a boring life." He's like, "This is awful," and he eventually sees kind of what's going on, but at that time he gets taken out by the three goons, and they use the magic wand that was given to them, and they like wrap him up in this thing, like it's like a straitjacket, but it's like tape all the way down from foot to shoulder, and he can't get out, and he He's just trapped there and helpless. While that's happening, they go over and they turn a Kryptonian space leech on Superman, because Superman's preparing for like a kind of like a museum thing where he introduces people to Krypton and he shows them different things, and he's got like different contraptions, and they're going to open it up to the public, and he's got pictures of all the different creatures that were on Krypton. Well, these guys with the magic wand go in there and they wave it and they turn the space leech alive, and he's like, these things suck the life out of everybody they see. They're like dangerous. So it grabs Superman and it actually kills him. At least you're. And then they embed him in like some magical ember, like to preserve his body, and they take him to the person that was, Clark to see who it is, and it turns out to be Dr. Light. And Dr. Light's there, I've wanted to kill the Justice League, so I gave you this wand, and I knew this plan would work. And this wand I had used to suck energy, and I took it to Zatanna's performance, and I drew magic into this staff. And this, I gave you the wand, and they're like, "Well, we don't want your money anymore. We want the wand. We're so powerful. We killed Superman, and we're going to auction off Batman because we've captured him. We're gonna go kill him for money. We're gonna make money off of this." So that's when Dr. Light pulls out his contraption, and he just annihilates all three of these goons. He kills every single one of them. And then, during that time, Batman gets loose and Superman gets free, and they take out Dr. Light. But it never explains, other than like one panel where it says Dr. Light would go in and use this light rod on Clark and make him see these visions. And then I think he used the light rod to look like Clark as this was happening, so he could hire these goons. But it was Dr. Light that was behind it. It was a really good story. It just had a lot of holes towards the end that, how did they affect? It was like one panel explanations. But it was a really good story. And then the last one I absolutely loved because it reminded me of Werewolf by Night, like a Werewolf by Night story with Batman, and I love Werewolf by Night. And it's drawn by Neil Adams with Dick Giordano on inks, and it's also a Len Wein story. And the one thing that was hard to read in this story is the scene opens up with the Wolfman coming in through a window looking at a beautiful woman. And he looks like he's gonna kill the woman, and the woman has a German Shepherd dog, and he's like, "Ralph, sick him!" And the way he guards it is like, this is one of the best guard dogs ever, and he's gonna protect his master till he dies. Well, the werewolf actually kills the dog by snapping it in half and breaks its back, and that was tough as a dog lover. It was really tough to see. But that's when Batman comes in and starts fighting him, and the werewolf throws the girl out the window. Batman swings down, is barely able to rescue her, and the werewolf gets away. And then he goes and talks to Commissioner Gordon about it. The art is phenomenal, like it's really good. And you find out that the werewolf goes to see Professor Milo, and he's a Batman villain. He's played a part throughout Batman and was also in some of the current stuff with RIP. And so it Milo tells him that he has the werewolf disease, which is lycanthropy, and he says you have it a million times over. He's like, some people just have hairy hands or hairy eyebrows, but you're as you're aging, you're evolving into this, and I'm gonna speed up the process. So he gave him something to speed up the process to turn him into a full-blown werewolf. And this guy here, Anthony Lupus, was an Olympic decathlon And he made a lot of money. Like, he was just rich, a rich guy, financially well suited, very much like Bruce Wayne, and that plays a part later on. And Lupus is like, I can't. Every time you let me loose as a werewolf on a full moon, I lose more and more control, and I'm gonna kill somebody. And he says, that's the idea. I need you to kill Batman. I want revenge. But I said, he says, in order to get to Batman, you're gonna have to go through Bruce Wayne. And so it like shows them at the gym, like Lupus is with some older guy. I don't even think they mention his name. And they're like running and doing all these activities at this men's club. And they're getting massages together and all this stuff. And he's talking about taxes, like how he's going to get out of taxes. And the way he's going to get out of taxes is through a donation. And he says, if Batman shows up at my place, I will give a huge donation to him so he could give it to ch his charities of choice. So Batman shows up, but then he's drugged. There's a gas in the room that affects just him that Milo put together. And because he didn't drink, he offered him a drink, but he didn't take it. And then he was gassed and he passes out. And Milo kind of chains him up and says, I'm going to turn you into a werewolf. You're going to kill Batman, rip him apart, and then I'll give you your cure, because he's threatening with the cure. The only way I'm going to give you the cure is if you kill Batman. So when he turns into the werewolf at night to go kill Batman, he turns on Milo, and it looks like he kills him, but you just see the arm drop the what am I looking for? The actual antidote. He actually drops it and it shatters. And the werewolf goes outside to where Batman's chained in the rain and starts to attack him. And Batman f found he found like some kind of pin on the ground. He puts it in his mouth and says, well, I can, if I have enough time, I can work myself out of these chains. I can lockpick it with my teeth. And I like what there was one thing where he gets the lockpick and he's like, God, this lockpick tastes like shit, but it'll just be a little bit longer before I get myself out. The werewolf attacks him, and it looks like there's like this huge headbutt. But when Batman headbutts him, he like planned it. The werewolf didn't expect it, knocks him out, and that's how he gets out of his chains. And then they start fighting, and the werewolf starts to rip him to pieces. And Batman says, I can't beat him on the ground. He's going to kill me. So I'll go to the top. And meanwhile, thunder and lightning's happening. It's a huge downpour. And he goes to the top of the building. He gets like a steel pipe or a steel rod, you know, like maybe with the stuff that they use, like a rhubarb or something. And he throws it through, and it like goes through his whole like midsection, so he's got it sticking out of his body. And Lupus, as the werewolf, he just pulls it out. But while he's pulling it out, and he's gonna kill Batman again, lightning hits him, so it hits that steel rod that's in his chest, and he gets shocked. And when he goes down off the building, many stories up, falls to the ground, and then when he sees him, he just sees the rod, and there's no body. And then it shows later on that Lupus is in Alaska somewhere. And every time there's a full moon, he goes hunting. So it was a really cool Len Wein stories. I really, really liked them, and I'm going to read a lot more. But that's all I have for like my current segment, and I'm going to get into the weekly reads for the week of December 19th, 2016 to December 25th of 2016. Again, the rankings are 5, I love it. 4, I really like it. 3, I like it. 2, did not like it. 1, I hated it. And this was Christmas week, right before it. And I think what happened is I went to Albuquerque and I loaded up a lot of digital codes onto my iPad and read at night. And I didn't read much during the day. So with the illuminated screen, I read a lot. So there's a lot of Marvel. I had a total of 53 comics, 50 Marvel, and 3 DC. So I read Cage number 2. This was the one with the Cage exclamation point, Andronosky artwork. The guy who does Samurai, the for the Cartoon Network. I can't think of his the la I can't think of the cartoon's name, and I've never seen it, but he does the animation for it. And this was the mind tripping issue as Cage is chased down by two Takitanis, and what I mean about that is two like Tiger Men, kind of like in the Shazam Captain Marvel world, and is gassed into a mind trip. And it's a really psychedelic comic book. There's not a lot of meat there, but it is a lot of fun. Like it is a lot of fun and like Ren and Stimpy type humorous look at it. I don't know. It's weird, but if you like that kind of thing, you might navigate towards this. So that was at the bottom. I also took with me a Epic collection of Wolverine. I think it was the first Wolverine volume, and what it had was the Marvel Comics Presents issues right before Chris Claremont took over, and it was Marvel Comics Presents 1 through 6, and it was pretty much Wolverine and Mandipore. We had Batman. This is before he became Patch, or I think it's during the time he became Patch, because he was undercover in Mandipore. And there was a woman that he was seeking, I remember distinctively. Another 3 out of 5 was Batman number 13. This is the rebirth. This is the end to the Bane saga. I really like the Punch and Jewel and the Ventriloquist, but other than that, I really struggled to like this particular issue. But the Punch and Jewel was written really well, because if you read the Suicide Squad issues where Punch and Jewel are play a big part of the Ostrander series, you will see that the banter between them is really, really, really good. We have the 4 out of 5s now, Detective Comics number 52. This is actually in the new 52. I was back reading some of that. It's the finale to Gordon's Marine Corps storyline. So if you remember in the new 52 towards the end, Commissioner Gordon was Batman, as Batman was believed to be dead. And he was wearing this armor, and this was the finale to Gordon's Marine Corps storyline. We have Uncanny X-Men number 15. This is Psylocke is going after threats to the X-Men, has a fight with Mystique, and takes part of her away. That makes her have no identity, essentially. So that was a pretty good issue. I've always enjoyed both those characters, Psylocke and Mystique. Especially Mystique, I've always liked her. Batman 66 meets Steed and Mrs. Peel number 6. This one was really entertaining, and it's for somebody that's never seen the Avengers with Steed and Mrs. Peel from the BBC. I really liked it. I really enjoyed it. It was a great finale to the series. The villain turns out to be an advanced cybernaut that thinks it's Armstrong's daughter. So it was a really cool story. Amazing Spider-Man number 12 through 15. This was the current incarnation. This is Iron Man, and it has Iron Man and MJ and Peter versus Regent. And Regent captures the Avengers. If you remember who Regent is, this Regent is a character that was essentially capturing heroes, and he siphons the energy off of them to give him powers. I think he was introduced in the first Spider-Man Renew Your Vows, but I can't remember quite right if that's true or not. I remember reading him in Renew the Vows as he was going after the Spider family, and that's where you have the daughter and Mary Jane. We have Amazing Spider-Man 1.1 through 1.5. This was actually pretty good. I thought this was going to be a wash. When Spider-Man was going on, they released these point ones, and it dealt with a separate story arc of that deals with people coming back to life. Really interesting clones type stuff going on there. We had All New X-Men number 16. This is Hank employs magic to fight with the team against the Goblin Queen. And that's Hank McCoy, the Beast. We have All New Inhumans 1 through 11. This was Crystal and Triton with the kids. They try to resolve the Terrigen Mist issues across the world. So they're actually in a ship and they're like traveling with a lot of the new Inhumans to try to find the new Inhumans that have become Inhumans from the Terrigen Mist and rescue them because of the situation that's building up between the mutants and the Inhumans. Really, really enjoying it. Really enjoyed it. Amazing. Now we get to the 5 out of 5s, and we have Amazing Spider-Man 16 through 19, Dead No More, Clone Saga Begins. And this is where the this oh I love this Dead No More. This was now that I think about it, it was so much better at the beginning than what Clone Conspiracy turned out. But the stuff that happened with Jameson and stuff, oh, it was amazing. Because this was Peter and his stepdad Jameson dies. Like oh my God, it was done so well. This is J. Jonah Jameson's father. Actually died in this run, 16 through 19, Dead No More. I really, really recommend it. For me, it worked better than when it got to Clone Conspiracy. Like it start, this is like pre-Clone Conspiracy, and it was freaking like hitting every beat for me personally. We have Uncanny Inhumans 1 through 16 and Annual Number 1. This was just to summarize, this was Medusa and crew dealing with the Terrigen Cloud. Like more so, they sent Crystal to take care of stuff remotely while she's dealing with it with the Inhumans. And it also crossed over to Civil War. I really enjoyed the Inhuman stuff during this time. I know a lot of people didn't, but it really struck a chord with me. And then another last 5 out of 5 was an all new X-Men annual. Real weird for me to rate an annual really high like this, but this was ID a date issue with another boy. It's one of those like slice of life issues that really worked for me. And that boy turned out to be a mutant, so it had like a relationship with an Inhuman and a mutant. Made it was really interesting. We had Dani Moonstar saves Lady Mastermind, and I don't even remember Lady Mastermind too well, but it was very interesting to me, and I love Dani Moonstar from the New Mutants. So I hope you enjoyed this issue, this episode. Please leave me feedback at my at geekbrunch.com or at Mike Myers Brunch on Twitter or on the email at mike@comicbooknoise.com. If you're so inclined, I would appreciate an iTunes review. If you could leave one, I'd really, really appreciate it. You can reach me at Facebook at Geek Brunch Podcast and click on the episodes that are there. Click the like button, and then you could follow all the episode threads of Mike M's Weekly Reads, Mike M's Collector's Corner, which is coming back probably next month. And, last but not least, Geek Brunch and Geek Brunch Retro. Still trying to figure out what to do with DC Noise. Hope to get an episode out during the month of October, if not next week. But it's been rough. Keith's on vacation. Like, he's on a long vacation. He almost took like a month off, it seems like. I've taken a lot of time off, and Daryl. Well, next week Daryl's at Baltimore, so that ain't gonna happen. So, and I have a wedding. So, yeah, it'll definitely, hopefully, try to get it back on track in November or October. And that's it. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care. Bye.